Okie dokie, very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We are live from the Colgan Hall in Carndonagh. And I'm just going to creep out onto the balcony to see what's going on here. There is interviews taking place on stage. And if you're watching on social medias, you will see there's a big crowd down there now at the moment. I can't go in there and disturb it. But anyway, I just wanted to give those of you watching a sense of what is going on. Right. Okay, we are back seated in our studio now, and we are joined by our next guests here live from our I'll give that to you, Joe, if that's okay. Live from our OB position here upstairs in the Colgan Hall. Now, we are joined in studio, as I mentioned, by our guests. They are Mary Kay Mullen, Fair Trade Product Seller. Good morning to you, Mary Kay. It's really good to have you on the show.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Thanks so much for calling up to us. And also, we have Kate O'Callaghan, Development Worker with Changemakers Donegal. Good morning to you, Kate.
Hello. Good morning, Greg.
Very enthusiastic. I love it. Okay. Now, talk to us a little bit about Changemakers, Kate.
Okay. Well, so as you said, I'm the project worker with Changemakers. Changemakers is a global citizenship education project, and it's based here in Donegal. We're actually partnered with the Inishowen Development Partnership alongside the Donegal Education Training Board, the ETB, and ETB, and three other organisations, Self-Help Africa, Trokra and Concern. So the Changemakers project, the aim of the project is to support adults in the communities here in Donegal to understand and take action around local and global development issues, and to also to embed development education opportunities throughout the county.
So how, from a Donegal perspective, can we take part in the Fair Trade Fortnight? And be change makers, I suppose, at the same time.
Sure. Yeah. Great question. So the Fair Trade is actually an alternative approach to conventional trade. It's based on a partnership between some of the most disadvantaged farmers and producers and workers in the world and the people who buy their products, which is us, essentially. So the way we can support them is to buy products with a fair trade symbol or a fair trade ethic behind their product. So we're running a number of campaigns actually currently this year through Fair Trade Ireland, and that's to support a chocolate and getting chocolate into our supermarkets. So there's a particular chocolate at the moment called Tony's Chocolonely Chocolate, and there's a campaign there to get shop owners locally to supply and stock that chocolate. Tony's Chocolonely Chocolate is actually their mission is to make the chocolate industry slavery free and exploitation free, and there's a lot of connection to slavery within chocolate. Chocolate mm-hmm. mainly comes from areas in South Africa, countries in South Africa, where the slave trade is really bad, and children are trafficked every year.
And I think we want the choice. I don't think there's many consumers kind of want to be complicit in that. No. I would hope there wouldn't be. But if I go into your average supermarket, you know, are there fair trade products in there?
Yeah, so there are. I mean, you kind of have to look for
That's
them.
That's exactly
you know?
The point and I was trying. I was going it, to get
and it's
to.
It's a challenge. It's an ongoing challenge to get fair trade products into our supermarkets and our local shops. And so it's really important that, first of all, that as customers, we demand those products mm-hmm. because, you know, a lot of stuff that gets stocked in shops is through demand and customer demand.
Are fair trade products more likely to be, are they likely to be more expensive?
They can be more expensive, but sometimes not by a huge amount. Mm. And I think this is the important thing, is that when you look at the impact of fair trade and how it supports the farmers and the producers that are making these goods, and also how it supports good environmental practices, good sustainable farming practices, how it links in with climate action, you know, then that extra 10 or 20 cents that you're paying for a fair trade bar of chocolate as opposed to a non-fair trade bar of chocolate, actually, you know, that value goes a long way.
Of course, because often we think, how do we make a change? Is it solar panels and electric cars? Well, it actually can be as simple as the produce that you purchase. Right, Kate's still with us. We're going to go back to Kate in a moment. I want to say good morning again to Mary Kay Mullen. Mary Kay, you're a fair trade product seller. Yeah. Zaytoon, is that how you pronounce your product and your range of products?
Yeah, it means olive. It's a group in London who went out to Palestine in about 2001 and were helping out with the olive harvest. And they saw that the farmers in the West Bank in Palestine didn't have a good market. They were they were selling in the Middle East and they weren't getting a good money back for their work. So they decided to set up a group in London, a not-for-profit organisation in London, and they imported direct from the farmers in the West Bank. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have developed over the years and they sell it out to shops as well, but also to people like me who voluntarily, you know, take it and sell it in my neighbourhood and all.
And do you sell it door to door or do you work with suppliers? I don't know what's so amusing about that. It happens. But you work with retailers then, obviously, to stock your product.
There are only one retailer in Derry that I know stocks a product. It's Ethical Way Co-op out in Eglinton. It's a not-for-profit organisation too. But they sell the dates. I mean, the idea is to support the farmers in Palestine. They've been having a dreadful hard time this year, especially since the 5th of October, being cut off from their farms, being attacked. One olive farmer was shot while he was picking olives with his family. So it's beautiful, fresh, you know, straight from the farm.
And I suppose if you want to suppress the people, you suppress their food production.
Yeah, that's right too.
Don't you really? That would be part of the...
Yeah, and the idea is that the farmers and producers get a fair price for their goods. And the goods are wonderful. They're delicious. The olive oil is some of the best olive oil, according to the Times, even, you know, in London a couple of years ago, the best olive oil there is. Then we have soaps and Dead Sea bath salts. And it's the only Palestinian Dead Sea bath salts, you know. And the soaps are made traditionally by women, handmade in Nablus. Mm-hmm. And my living room smells beautiful because that's my warehouse at the moment. So I'm especially, since November, I've been doing stalls around. I started in Mobile and doing stalls around Derry and Donegal.
Well, that's not a million miles away from door to door. You're selling the product directly to the customer.
Yeah, okay. At events. And wholesale prices, that, you know, cheapest they can get.
And do you find that that since the awful events of October that has triggered the situation we see now, do you think the public are more open to purchasing?
Yes.
They're mm-hmm. they see it more than acquiring a product.
Yeah. Oh yes, they also see it as supporting Gaza, you know, and they give extra money for replanting trees that the settlers or the army dig up. The traditional olive trees and stuff in the farms. And a lot of the farmers are also women. You know, this is International Women's Week. A lot of the farmers and producers are women. I mentioned the soaps in Nablus. You know, they work in there's very little work for people in the West Bank, and they work in, you know, producing it and, you know, packaging it as well. And all.
And it's hard
absolutely
to,
delicious food.
At the moment, it's hard to see a pathway to recovery. You would always hope it's there, but...
Going forward,
the likes of farming and buying products would assist it in relation to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I presume you're watching with a mixture of horror and interest, obviously, with what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, Mary Kay.
Yeah, oh yes. And this is one way to feel less than helpless, you know.
I get
and
you.
People seem the same when they're buying it, you know, from me and all. And then people are using it for fundraising as well. There's going to be a big fundraiser in Letterkenny on the 26th of March where they're going to have raffles for baskets of this stuff, hampers of the stuff as well. And they can get through in Derry, they can get through to me, Mary Kay Mullen, you know, I'd be on social media, on Facebook. I have it advertised on my Facebook page. You know,
right, okay. So, yeah. And it's Zaytoun.
Zaytoun. They have a lovely website, zaytoun.uk.
And very distinctive packaging as well.
Oh, gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful, you know, and the contents are beautiful as well, you know. And people, things like Zaytar, which is a thyme and sesame seed, you know, herb, you know, and just delicious. And the olive oil. And the dates are wonderful. Traditionally, this is what people use when they, in Ramadan, you know, when they fast for the day, the first thing they eat is one of these medjool dates. Mm. And they are juicy.
So you have it in front of me here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Juicy and, you know, very, very never tried, sweet and
never tried
absolutely
a date.
Lovely. Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to start today. it's just, I'm very textured. I'm also about texture and stuff. Do you know what I mean? I might overcome it,
it's
though.
It's gorgeous.
Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you so very much indeed. Okay. Sometimes, Kate, you know, when we're donating or, you know, or buying certain products, it's having sort of a faith that it is actually making the difference, you know, between so in other words, if I buy a fair trade product or if someone does, how do they know that, you know, slavery isn't involved or the farmer is getting, you know, a decent day's pay for it? But presumably there's checks and balances in place to ensure that the money is spent as
absolutely
the consumer feels is going to be. Okay.
And when you see that fair trade mark, you know, it's a guarantee that the producers are getting a fairer and a better deal, and they are being provided with an opportunity to also improve their lives for not just themselves, but also for their families and for the, you know, for the generations that are going to come after them that will hopefully, you know, keep their farming practices going and their production lines going, and so that they can also plan for the future.
And look at, we can relate to that here. It's on a completely different scale, but, you know, farmers in this country know fine well, and as I say, it is on a different scale, but that there is people profiting. And it's not the Irish farmer. You know what I mean? That the Irish farmers are struggling to make ends meet with their produce. Now, I think we can scale that multiple times and what have you. But there should be an understanding, a kinship, I think, with farmers in other parts of the world, because on a completely different level, one could argue, but they're experiencing the same thing, that they're exploited, but people are making big profits off their backs.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many of the products that we love here in this part of the world that we enjoy, you know, our coffee, our tea, our sugars, even flowers, you know, as Mary Kay was saying, like, you know, olive oils and dates and almonds and all sorts of food products. And also, like, you know, fair trade covers everything from like cotton as well, cotton industry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about the actual trade agreement. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea of like us being able to, as consumers, recognizing where the products come from, where those source materials are coming from, and whether there is an ethics behind that, good ethics behind that, and, you know, fair trade, fair deals for the producers.
Okay, Mary Kay, I'm holding the Dead Sea salt here. What do you do with this?
It's bath salt for soaking in the bath or soaking your feet in or anything like that. It's absolutely wonderful for aches and pains and for runners and people like that. You know, it's really great.
And
if people take a bath now, or they could do, you know, they could do it in their feet, you know, the foot baths.
Sounds lovely.
Well.
Independently verified mineral content. So this is derived from the Dead Sea, the world's biggest natural spa. So you can have that in your hands. Keep an eye out for you. Keep an eye on your social medias. Mary Kay Mullen, a fair trade product seller, and Kate O'Callaghan, development worker with Change Makers Donegal. Fair Trade Week, actually, we're in the middle of it now, aren't we? The 4th to the 17th of March?
Yeah, it's actually Fair Trade Fortnight. From the 4th to the 17th.
And then International Women's Day. It's all interconnected.
International Women's Day, and it is interconnected because, as Mary Kay pointed out, a lot of the producers are female women producers on farms, and so there's a really important link there.
Kate, it's been lovely having you in. Thank you so very much. Mary Kay,
thank you.
Tirelessly holding up your poster.
Is
your passion.
Because people don't know what it is. And I
know.
I think it's so beautiful as well.
I think so, but I think you've done a great job there.
So beautifully produced as well. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mary Kay. Then. Lovely having the both of you in. It is the 9 till noon show. We've got a choir coming up for you, Ukrainian choir, and more guests on the programme as well. We also actually have Business Matters, don't we, as well? The business news, that's coming up shortly. When do you want to do that, Caroline? I've brought Caroline with me to Karen Dunnell. She brought me to Karen Dunnell. When do you want to do that? Do it now. Okay. Right, we're going to take a break here from Karen Donna, and we'll have Business Matters preview with Chris Ashmore. That's all coming up shortly. Okay, welcome back to the programme. It is Wednesday, which means it is the day we release our business podcast, Business Matters, and its presenter, Chris Ashmore, joins us on the programme now. Chris, thanks very much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Good morning, Greg.
Okay, we're going to talk about the podcast in a moment, but first let's get some news. And Local Enterprise Week underway now.
Yeah, just to mention, up and running, a great reaction to the events so far. It continues until Friday, so if you still want to book something, there are places, the events are free, so just go to localenterprise.ie, you'll find out more about that. One particular event of note, the Donegal Women in Business Network, they're hosting a cross-border event in the Inishowen Gateway Hotel in Buncrana, and that's on Friday from 4 to 7 o'clock. Keynote speaker is Downing's woman Joanne Sweeney, author and a former member of the newsroom team here in Highland. And that will also have a chance for people to network. So that's underway.
Interesting times. And interesting news actually emerged over the last couple of days. A very popular brand, JD Sports. They're coming to Letterkenny?
Yes, they're coming to Letterkenny. I didn't know it's actually John Davis Sports. That's the full name.
I can see why they went with the initials.
So JD Sports, they have a planning permission in with regard to some alterations to the former Argos premises in the Letterkenny Retail Park. So it's a big store and looking for signage and a few things inside. So that planning decision is due the 24th of April. They now have 22 stores in Ireland. So it's a big multiple coming to Letterkenny.
Brilliant stuff. New car registrations on the up in Donegal anyway.
Well, up in Donegal, 26% up in February. Of course, the beginning of the year always has the most registrations, but nevertheless, 26% up compared with this time last year. Toyota, the most popular brand in Donegal. And just, we hear so much about electric cars. Petrol cars are down slightly, about 31%, about a third. Diesel were actually up slightly in Donegal, the number of sales. The petrol hybrid now accounting for about 25% of the market. So basically one in four new cars in Donegal is a petrol hybrid. And the hybrids seem to be more popular here because of the fact that we hear about the range anxiety.
And the charging infrastructure is still just not there
yet. It's not there. That's so the if you have the hybrid, it gets around that to a degree.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Yes, go ahead.
One Porsche registered.
I thought you weren't going to mention my car.
Yeah, yeah. And seven Teslas and 19 Cupras. The Cupras,
there was a time that the Porsche would be the wow car. But now seven Teslas, nice vehicles then. All right, good stuff. Happy driving in your Porsche, by the way, if you are that one person. Tender to supply electricity for all local authorities in Ireland?
I just threw this in. It goes to show that people are shopping around for value, including our local authorities. Now, this is all centralised, all the local authorities in Dublin, but the government puts out a tender. The electricity companies apply, and whoever gets it supplies the electricity to all the local authority offices around the country and all their various facilities. So the electricity bill is in the region of 77 million a year. So it's a tidy little contract.
Yes, indeed. And both parties have a bit of gamble to take because you don't know which way the supply costs are going.
Also, just congratulations to Claire McDonough, the new president of Letterkenny Chamber, a co-owner of La Maison Interior Design Studio in Letterkenny. She was appointed at the AGM, taking over from Fionnuala Rabbit off
Brilliant
Highland
stuff,
Radio.
Indeed.
So
we had a good
best
chat
of
with
luck
her.
To Claire. Yeah,
a good chat with her. Was it Friday? Actually, I think it was. Okay, right. Let's get down to business. The Business Matters podcast this week. Chris, who have you been chatting to?
I've been speaking with Axel Pavlik, who is originally from Germany, now lives in Port Salon, came over here on holidays a couple of times, fell in love with Donegal, retired from his positions abroad, and a couple of years ago decided to make some high-end and rather stunningly attractive chocolates, and his business has taken off, and his brand is known as the Chocolate Man from Donegal.
I like that. I think. Yeah. I wonder, is that a bit of German confidence? Would a Donegal man say the Chocolate Man from Donegal? I don't know. He's probably is a Donegal man now living here, but maybe that sort of German heritage has given him that confidence.
The little box there, you'll see them in number of outlets around the county, and it's a lovely box. The chocolates, there is a wow factor there. It's the higher end of the market, but he's creating them, and I went down to his little kitchen in the old school community centre in Kerrykeel, where it's all taking place, and he showed me what was happening and explained to me just how his business has gone so far.
So I started now 2 years ago on a very small scale, figuring it all out. How do I package those things once I have them? How do I send them around the world without them melting or falling over and being smashed on the way? Selling them locally on the market is fun in the shops. And then Des from the Blue Goat called me the Chocolate Man. Mm-hmm. And at some point I said, oh, that's actually maybe the Donegal Chocolate Man. Maybe there's a brand in there. And that's what it became. The whole setup here in the community center in Kerrykeel is very beneficial in that I pay for the time that I use the kitchen. So if I don't use it much, I don't pay much. So that's friendly for basically an incubator for a small business like this. And last year I started to think of it as a business, actually. Mm. And I'm amazed to say that it was self-financing.
Okay, interesting. And it's going to be interesting to listen to the full interview and find out all the different stuff he makes and the different flavours and what have you. So that's available for you to listen at your leisure. You can stream it on our website or download it and listen when you're out for a walk or whatever you want to do when it suits you. It's on Spotify and iTunes as well, and broadcast on the radio too at the weekend, Chris.
Yep, on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news, so you can hear all about these chocolates. And it's like fine dining.
Do you have a sweet tooth, Chris?
I do.
They're a
real work of art.
Yeah.
I was impressed. I was impressed.
So you got samples?
Did get a few, yes.
Where are they?
Not here, Greg.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And if anyone wants to get in contact with you, Chris, how
yes,
do they do so?
businessmatters@highlandradio.com is the email address. So every Sunday after 6 o'clock news, it goes out.
Brilliant stuff, Chris. Thank you very much indeed. That's the Business Matters podcast, available for you right now, or you can listen on Sunday at 6. And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here, live from the Colgan Hall. And there's a great buzz now here with the events that are taking place downstairs from us. It's part of the celebration of Your Voice, Your Community. It's part of International Women's Day with Inishowen Development Partnership and the Inishowen Co, which plays a big part in supporting initiatives like this. And we've had some wonderful guests so far on the program. It's been really great getting to meet and listen to some of those people. And our next guest is Carmel Doherty, Barrack Hill Town Park Steering Committee Chair, English Language Tutor, and Chair of Karen Donna Ukraine Support Group. Could you not take a few other things on, Carmel? Maybe you have a few other minutes in the day you could use up?
Yeah, well, there are a few more projects, Greg, that I'm interested in pursuing in the future.
People will recognise you and your voice as the first female deputy principal in Karen Donna Community School, I suppose, as we approach International Women's Day. Important to recognise that as well.
Yeah, it really was, and it was a great opportunity. It was also a great challenge, but it brought a different skill set to the senior management team in Karen Donna Community School. And at that stage there were about 1500 pupils there, so it gave me an opportunity to make small changes.
Like cultural changes? I know that's a big buzzword around that at the moment,
yeah,
but I'm about the sort of, you know, maybe a male-dominated culture.
Oh, yeah, and it always was a male-dominated culture. But, you know, and while the leaders that were in the school, you know, were totally into education, I think what I brought to the school was, you know, an absolute commitment and dedication to maybe help those that weren't heard. So one of my first roles would have been a special needs coordinator. And, you know, I was passionate about that because I really felt and still feel very strongly that people who are differently abled, and I'm not going to use the word disabled because I really strongly feel differently abled and with special needs, you know, yet they had to be heard.
Yeah.
And they had to have kind of a fearless champion for them as well. So I suppose that...
It must have been really rewarding then to be able to go in and affect change that would have such a significant impact on people's lives, and not just in the present, but as they went through their lives. And you know, maybe some of the things that you're introduced has changed the pathway for people in a positive way. It's a lovely thing to be a part of, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it was. And it was, you know, it was a great opportunity for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went in to be deputy principal to make a positive impact on young people's lives in Inishowen and North Inishowen. And, you know, I think I did. And that is great. And I suppose that is what has inspired me now when I retired. And I was lost when I retired because that job was, you know...
Seemed like everything at the time.
It was everything, you know. So I was a bit lost when I retired.
But then you bumped into four other inspirational women.
I certainly did.
What happened then?
And I was out walking in the Barrackhill Town Park, which was also created by an inspirational caring woman, Aideen Glacken. And I happened to meet Grania, Helen, Frances and Kathleen. And they were growing organically as a community in the Barrackhill. And fortunately, they invited me to join. And, you know, the Barrackhill Community Gardens is an amazing place.
Yes.
It's the place that everyone who is new to Carindonagh eventually gravitates towards.
I get you, yeah.
So we've had Syrians there, we've had the Ukrainians there, English, American, Indians. And we grow food together.
But... Beyond the food, you grew bonds and links.
Yes, it is about growing, and it's great to have your hands in the soil and to learn from each other. But we've learned about each other's cultures, we've learned about each other's traditions, and we have formed bonds. And it is, and I mean, I know it's kind of cliche to say that, you know, growing is good for your mental health, but I mean this growing has helped an awful lot of people, including myself when I was lost after retiring, to, you know, feel that there was a worth.
Yeah.
That, okay, I was retired, but I still had something to contribute.
We need that, though, don't we?
Absolutely.
That's why people should start planning, you know, as soon as they can. Well, what am I going to do when I start working? Because there's that inevitable gap. How can you, you know, work the 8, 10, however hours a day that you work, and then that to stop and not have something else to fill that void? And it is a void.
Yeah, it's a huge void. And in a rural area, it's a huge void.
I think what's interesting too about you and the fellow locals, in inverted commas, and those that have become locals, people from a Ukrainian, Indian, Syrian background, is that I suppose when you're together you can celebrate what you have in common. But I presume individually you don't feel that your culture has been threatened. You can respect other people's culture, but also celebrate what you have in common. And I wonder... And there's a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, and I get that, and I respect those views, but it's kind of that on a national scale that this and so many other countries need to sort of maybe acquire.
I totally agree, Greg, because at the end of the day, when I met the Ukrainians, by accident I bumped into them at a volunteer fair here in the Colgan Hall, and I met, first of all, Elena, and, you know, they were human beings. That is what struck me, was real problems, real issues. And all I could see was, when I met these young families, all I could see was my own grown-up children. And if they were landed in a foreign land without the language, you know, would there be somebody that would kind of look after them? And I'm like, no, I'm not threatened. I see them as having the same problems. as ourselves.
Yeah, and through your work and through the general work of integration and what have you, Ukrainians, what do they need? How can we meet those needs? There was the creation of a good and new shop. But it was a two-way street too, because obviously these people have moved into an area facing its own challenges. And the biggest challenge facing Inishowen at the moment is the defective concrete crisis. And that shop was able to feed back into supporting the families affected.
And that's the kind of small gesture that we need. These are the small gestures that we need. So they had made a profit of €700 in the Goodest New Shop, which was again supplied to us by Helen Nolan, another really inspirational Cairn woman and past pupil of Cairn Donagh Community School. And, they give that €700 profit to the Mica families.
Carmel, it's been lovely speaking to you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have you been downstairs yet?
Or I have been downstairs.
It's a nice buzz there, isn't there?
It is a fabulous buzz. Okay. And, the whole array of different cultures.
Yep. Okay. Carmel, thank you very much indeed. That's Carmel Doherty there, who's Barrakil Tampoc Steering Committee Chair, English Language Tutor, Chair of the Cairn Donagh Ukraine Support Group, and of course, former principal in Cairn Donagh Community School. We are broadcasting live, in case you aren't aware, from the Colgan Hall here in beautiful Cairn Donagh. We're celebrating International Women's Day in association with the Inishowen Development Partnership and Inishowen Co-op. And we've got some live music for you in a moment. But first, we want to introduce to you some of those that have just came in for the day, I suppose. I'll say good morning to you first, Georgina Key. How are you keeping, Georgina?
All good, thank you very much.
So are you here purely to soak it up, inspect and enjoy what's going on? You're here as a guest, or do you have work to do as well?
A little bit of both. I've very much enjoyed the event, but I'm here as a Highland dance teacher, so I was sharing a bit of knowledge about Ulster Scots culture, and one of my dancers was performing.
So what is Highland dancing?
So traditionally, I suppose it was created in the Highlands of Scotland. That's the whole Celts, hands above the heads, traditional Highland dancing. But it's very, very prevalent, especially in Northern Ireland. But there's also a few Donegal-based dance schools as well.
You're also part of a cross-border project, aren't you? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yep, so I work for the Northwest Cultural Partnership, which are based in Derry, Londonderry. And we have a project that works with ourselves and with IDP here in Inishowen. So it's a cross-border project, bringing people together through the arts. It's been very exciting so far. We've actually had a group of traditional musicians and dancers, Highland and Irish dancers, who have recently performed at Dublin Castle for the Taoiseach and also at Downing Street for the Prime Minister. So it's been a very interesting process.
Lovely stuff. And I'm also in the company of Christine Carlin. Christine, if you don't mind me saying, you look fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
What a lovely outfit you have on.
Thank you.
Christine, are you here today just as a guest and just to soak it up?
I am here to enjoy every bit of it.
And what do you think so far, Christine?
International Women's Day is absolutely wonderful. Mm. And the organisation, to get this all together, it is absolutely amazing.
You've attended a couple of events like this, didn't you? Attend one in Ballyliffin not so long ago as well?
I did indeed, and it was amazing as well. Mm.
And what do you enjoy most? Is it meeting other people? Is it the social side of it? Is it seeing some of the products that are on display, or the performances, for that matter?
All of it, the history of it, the communication, and it is absolutely uplifting. It is really, really a marvellous day.
But your connections to the Colgan Hall go beyond just coming here today.
Yes.
You've got a wonderful family connection to the history of this place.
My late father, he was a boy soprano.
Oh, wow.
And he sang in this hall as a child.
On that stage?
He was 10 years old.
Wow.
And believe it or not, I attended this school, the secondary school. But since then, I've been a member of the drama group, Patsy Kavanagh's drama group in Greencastle.
Rightio.
And we've done a play here. And also, we had different groups, that met up here. So I'm quite used to and had quite a lot of relations taught in the Colgan Hall.
So this was formerly a school? Is that correct? No?
Yes, that's my secondary school.
Really? Okay. You don't know what your dad sang here. I know you weren't around and it was a long time ago, just in case it was passed down through the history. Yeah,
but my late father, I presume he was a soprano because he was only 10, I think, when he sang here. And my elders, my two boys, my two sons, Patrick and Paul, they were both boy sopranos.
I can just imagine him singing like Goodbye. Do you know that song?
Yes.
Do you know something like that there? You can almost hear it.
Yeah. And the music, like my brother, my late brother James, when he sang, he was like Charlie Pride.
Okay.
My eldest son, Patrick, he sings like Charlie Pride.
There you go.
My youngest son, Paul, he sings, he plays the guitar, the violin, and...
That's enough. I already dislike him. He's too talented.
Yes.
So you haven't told me what you sing, Christine. You've mentioned all the other family members. I won't ask you to sing, don't worry.
Yes.
But do you have a tune in you? Not that I would ask you to sing.
Yes, I am a member of the Coil na Céile choir in the university in Letterkenny.
Right.
And this is my 7th year being there, and to say I have enjoyed it would be an understatement.
The understatement.
I've enjoyed every moment of it, and I'd like this moment to wish our amazing director Veronica McCarn and all my colleagues in the choir, my family and all my neighbours and friends a very happy, happy time and a beautiful day.
Christine, it's lovely having you. Thank you so very much for calling up. And I think just it's really nice to have a connection to the history of here with your with your father.
Yeah.
And also, obviously, Christine, lovely having you in. But you could listen to, not Christine, Georgina, you could listen to Christine all day, couldn't you?
Absolutely.
But I had to keep an eye on the clock here. I think we could go on for an hour, Christine, if we had it. But it's been lovely speaking to you.
Been
Thank
a
you
pleasure.
So much for calling up. And we'll let you go back and enjoy the rest of the day.
My appreciation.
Georgina, thank you. So polite as well. Georgina, thank you so very much indeed.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really lovely chatting to you too as well. That's Christina Carlin and Georgina Key.
It's our
pleasure to have you, Christina. We're coming close to the end of this special 9 to noon show live from the Colgan Hall here, just a few feet away from the very stage that Christine's father sang as a soprano aged 12 at the opening of the Colgan Hall. And then, of course, she also went to secondary school here. So a lovely sense of the history, which I love, are also all about the current and the future. We're going to take a break and we're going to be coming back with some live music for you. So stay tuned for that. We've got a number of guests going to come into our outside broadcast studio here, and we're going to hear some music from them. So as we get that all set up for you, we're going to take a quick break. Rejoin us in a few moments. It's okay, as we edge towards the end of the program, we are welcoming into our room here a number of guests. We are saying good morning first to Aleftina. I want to make sure I get the pronunciation of your name correct.
Aleftina.
Okay, Aleftina, it's lovely to have you here. You are director of the Ukrainian choir. And have you performed yet, or are you performing a little later?
Yes, actually, we are quite new choir, and there is not a lot of us. We're most likely vocal ensemble more than choir, but we will grow up, I hope. And our first performance was on this... this Christmas. So it's like a few months we're singing together, and today we're really, really delighted to join the celebration of International Women's Day and sing together.
And it is an all-female collective.
Yes. Actually, sometimes a couple of men could join us, but it doesn't matter who will sing in general.
And how long have you been in Ireland now, Aleftina?
I'm in Ireland year and a half almost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And from where in Ukraine did you come from?
I came from the east of Ukraine.
Okay, so which is particularly intense with what's happening at the moment.
Yes, from dangerous place.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. And how's life been like for you here so far?
It was interesting from the beginning. It was really nice, and I was surprised how people nice here. I was surprised how people have a patience to understand each other. For example, if I made mistake in English, because obviously it's not my first language, and I never spoke English before I came here, so it's a bit stressful. But almost, all this time, I had maybe one bad conversation when someone was insulting me because of language, but nothing else. People so polite. I'm so surprised. And this experience is unforgettable experience in many reasons, because of people. Because I find that Irish people a bit similar to people in my country in some way. I was surprised in a good way. Actually, of course, nature here, it's more than beautiful. My eyes was distracted when I just came here. It was hard to focus on long distance, on these beautiful hills, mountains, on the ocean, all of that beauty. Yeah, so it was first month, it was nice month to rest, to get used to life in different place. Mm-hmm. And then we started to do something to sing. First of all, I and a couple of my friends, we joined to Bankrana's Choir of Ages. That's why we was inspired to maybe made something just by for us.
And what are you going to perform for us in a moment?
Yeah, today we will sing a song. It's in Ukrainian called «Пісня буде поміж нас», but in translation it means «The song will be among us». It was written by Ukrainian composer and performer Volodymyr Ivasyuk in 1971, as this song is sung by a man who realized that he cannot be near his beloved in that moment, but they will be always together in the song. And it's song that they can be each other together and just in song. That's why it's a bit more symbolic song for us. Yep.
And how important is it? I mean, obviously, to be part of the Irish community and what have you, but how important is it, I suppose, as many of you, if not all of you, miss home and, you know, maybe have lost loved ones and family members and away from your homeland, to be able to come together and sort of celebrate Ukrainian culture and music?
Actually, every time when we hear each other's language in different places, it makes us feel a bit happy, a bit more, but surprised, because I think most of us are used to hear English, to adjust to all these situations, to life there, and to be together, to sing together on our language. It means do not forget where we're from, do not forget some beautiful songs which was forget for some reason maybe, and that's why it's also. So every time it's just pleasure of singing it to be together.
Okay, Aleftina, I'll let you take your place, join with the rest of these singers. You're going to hear a song now, and you heard the background from Aleftina yourself, who is the director of the Ukrainian choir. The choir performing at the event today. There's 17 members in total. We have a number of them here, and as I say, they are going to perform for us right now. So whenever you're ready.
Пробляла дорога від твоїх горів до моїх горів я струна. То чому згубився твій самотній слід, знаєш ти одна, ти одна. Але осінь отой слід листям ще не крила, бо до тебе навесні я повернусь. Твої руки я візьму знову в свої руки, не розквітне поміж нас жодних від роздуки. Не ховай очі блакитний промінь, заспівай мені останній раз. Пісню ту візьму собі на спомин, пісня буде поміж нас. Бо твій голос, бо твій голос щедра повінь, я мов колос, я мов колос, нею поле, жовтий лист спаде і виросте зелений. пісні буде завжди біля мене. Я зійду сніди з гір потоками, ой, глибокими навесні. Квіткою наснишся синьокою, далині мені, далині. Але осіньовий слід листям ще не вкрила, бо до тебе навесні я повернусь сила. Твої руки я візьму знову в свої руки, не розквітне поміж нас жовтий від розлуки. Не ховай очі блакитний промінь, заспівай мені в останній раз пісню ту. Візьму собі на спомин, пісня буде поміж нас. Бо твій голос, бо твій голос щедра повінь, я в голос, вже над голос не любовен, щоб і лист паде і виросте зелений, а ти пісні будеш завжди біля мене. Бо твій голос, бо твій голос щедра повінь, я в голос, будеш завжди біля мене. Жовтий лист паде і виросте зелений, а ти в пісні будеш завжди біля мене.
Thank you very, very much indeed. That was absolutely wonderful. And we really appreciate you, all of you coming in. That's the Ukrainian choir there. And that's where we have to leave it on this special 9 till noon show. I want to thank all the crew at the Colgan Hall for making us feel so welcome. It's been lovely to be part of your voice, your community, as part of International Women's Day. Thanks to Inishowen Development Partnership and to the Inishowen Co-op. Thanks to Caroline Orr, who researched and produced the show. Shannon working on the program as well. And Joe Dex, who looked after us from a technical standpoint. We're back in studio tomorrow, but that's where we have to leave it today. Stay tuned. John Bresson is coming up around the Northwest after the news headlines at 12. Have a good Wednesday.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union, now offering mortgages from 40,000 to 600,000 euro with no hidden fees or transaction charges. Letterkenny Credit Union, 910-2127.